previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
So, vaccine passports. What's the latest on vaccine passport? What is a vaccine passport? What is it going to mean for you and I? To give us some clarity this morning and talk about it, we have on the line Mia Malan, who's the editor-in-chief for Becky Sisa Center for Health Journalism. Good morning. How are you, Mia?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks very much.
Good. Before we talk about the vaccine passports, just a bit of background, if you can, about Becky Sisa Center for Health Journalism. What is this organization?
So we're an independent media organization. We publish our stories on our website, but also with the Daily Maverick, News 24 and Mail and Guardian. And we started off in 2013, originally as the health desk of the Mail and Guardian. And then about 2 years ago, we moved out and we became independent and started to give our copy to a broader range of media publications.
Okay. All right. So the information that you are sharing is, in your opinion, credible information?
Well, we're an evidence-based journalism organization, and that means that everything that we publish is either drawn from a peer-reviewed study during COVID, of course, also preprints, and double-checked for facts. So we don't normally just cover news. We do in-depth analysis and make sure that we verify facts very well.
Okay, right. I saw you tweet, I think it was yesterday, you started talking about South Africa's vaccine passport, and you mentioned that if all goes well, the digital vaccine cards will become available on the 5th of October. How is this going to work, and how's it going to roll out?
So the 5th of October version that's going to become available is going to be called a digital vaccination card. And then at the later stage, it will become a certificate and then a passport. That's just different names for different levels of security. So it's the same thing that just gets stuff added to it. So what will happen on the 5th of October, if all goes well, is that there will be a website from which everyone who's been fully vaccinated can download a vaccine card. And that card will contain when you were vaccinated, where, how many shots you've had with which vaccine. And then there will also be a QR code on that vaccine certificate, which is basically something that if you go, say, when you travel, then someone can scan that code and then the information will pop up that is in that card, and it will show that it's linked to your ID number to show that it's actually you. They can check your passport and your ID, and the QR code will be linked to that. Obviously, you would need access to the internet at this stage. So either you can download it from your phone if you have a smartphone, and then it can stay on your phone very much like a plane ticket when you do a digital plane ticket. If you don't have access to the smartphone or the internet, you would actually need someone who will help you to access the internet, but you will be able to then print that card, and on that printed version, there will be the QR code that then can be scanned digitally.
Mia, I have to ask this question. How advanced are we in South Africa to prevent fake passports?
So it's very hard to tell. So if you want to know, are we up to international standards? There is no international standard at the moment. Each country really just does what they think is necessary right now. There are World Health Organization guidelines, but they're very rough guidelines, not a policy document at this stage. And South Africa is following those guidelines, but as I've mentioned, they're quite, you know, general. So at this stage, we have a QR code to provide security. At a later stage, we may look at something that's called a digital signature, also called a cryptographic signature, which is a higher level of security. It involves giving a key to the organization that's going to check, you know, if you want to go to England for them to check, and they will have a key to check this. And then a digital signature prevents fraud or information being falsified, and a higher level than a QR code. And then we would have to look at what other countries do and what the WHO recommends. What I do think is that the health department, when I spoke to them, was pretty confident that the measures that we're implementing in terms of security is very similar to what other countries do. But of course, these measures have to be implemented gradually. You can't put it all there at once, which is why our cards will be upgraded as the time goes by.
Why is it necessary, Mia, to get a digital vaccination card?
So, you know, I mean, the World Health Organization doesn't support digital vaccination card, in the sense of vaccine passports internationally. And the reason for that is because they argue until everyone doesn't have equal access to vaccines, it's not fair, because it would result in poorer countries that don't have many vaccines not being able to travel, and wealthier countries will all be able to do that. But the reality is that countries have started to do it, whether the WHO likes it or not. And within that context, there are two purposes for this card. The one is to make sure that people travel safely, and countries will ask you for proof of vaccination when you travel internationally to enter. The other purpose is domestically in countries. So, for instance, many countries have started, for instance, Italy and France and the US, to require proof of full vaccination before you, for instance, enter a restaurant indoors, where we know that it's easier to contract a virus that causes COVID-19 indoors than outdoors. Or, for instance, if you want to go to a large event, like a large sports event, they may require vaccination. So, internally, to make events safer, that is often required. But important to note that you can't start doing that in South Africa yet, because you can't do that until a reasonable proportion of the country has not been vaccinated. Countries who do this are countries where more than half of the entire country has been vaccinated. We have 14% of everyone in South Africa, and if you just look at adults, we're around about 22%. So we can't start doing that yet. So that's why you hear, for instance, employers who require vaccination and want to make it mandatory, say, for instance, Discovery and Sanlam. They've announced that they want to do that, but they're giving people time until January before they can start to implement such a policy, because you can't do that now when everyone hasn't had a chance to be vaccinated. You have to wait until a broader part of the population has managed to do that.
Absolutely. You may have seen images, I'm sure you have, over the last couple of weeks, of these mass marches and the people that are against these vaccine passports. I see there's another one going around dated for the 2nd of October, fights against the vaccine passports. This is happening in Cape Town. What would your message be to those people that are taking part in these mass marches?
I think, first of all, it's important to understand that if we look at people who are vaccine hesitant, in other words, people who are not sure if they want to get a vaccine, if you look at who comprises that, it's a very, very small percentage who are anti-vaxxers. In other words, whatever you say, they just don't believe in vaccines. According to our health department, that's about 6% of vaccine hesitant people in the country. The rest are people that you can potentially convince to get vaccinated by making it easy or incentives and that sort of thing. Secondly, vaccine passports should not be the way to get people vaccinated. It should be a last option, or mandatory vaccines. So in other words, we should first try all the other things that we know evidence tells us work. The one is to make it very easy to get vaccinated. So in other words, what we're doing at the moment is to say you don't have to be registered on the EVDS. You can just do a walk-in, or to do pop-up sites to take vaccines closer to people and not expect them to travel to the vaccines. That is one way. Another way is incentives, you know, to say if you get vaccinated, you can get a free T-shirt or whatever the thing is that would attract people. And then only later do we look at something like, well, if we have made it easy to get vaccinated and if we have offered everything we can, what do we do then, because we need a safe country? And then mandatory vaccinations become an option. So also with an employer, for instance, you don't just make it mandatory. You first try and convince people voluntary, and then you get to that mandatory option. So people who have those marches, you know, research shows us that the 6% of people who are anti-vaxxers, it's not worthwhile trying to convince them to get vaccinated, because it really doesn't matter what you say, they have certain views on this. But a large other part of the population, or the vaccine hesitant people, you can convince. And for that reason, research tells us rather try and address the audience that those groups are trying to reach, in other words, the rest of the vaccine hesitant people that can be convinced, they're trying to change the minds of those people who will be in the march, because they are pretty set on their minds, but important. They might be vocal, but they're a very small part of the people who are not sure if they want to get vaccinated.
All right, I think you've answered our questions this morning. Thank you so much, Editor-in-Chief at Becky Sise Center for Health Journalism, Mia Milan. Thank you for taking our call this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Ciao, bye-bye.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.